chapter 1. Although the book of Acts is a history book, there's still much instruction that we can glean from its pages. And I want to minister to you this morning a message entitled, The Promise. The Promise. What is a promise? We use that term all the time, but let's stop and think about what is a promise? It is someone telling you, making themselves accountable to you, that they're going to do a certain thing. But that promise is only as good as the one making the promise. How many's ever had a promise and the promise will let you down? All of us have experienced that. But when you make a promise, you're making a commitment to somebody, and you're giving that person the assurance that I'm going to do this thing, I promise. Well, you and I today, we have a promise from the Father. It's always hung right over our heads, but very few of us actually tap into it, because the integrity of the one that made that promise is without question. He is faithful through the ages. And when he makes a promise, he's faithful to make sure that promise comes to pass. So in the book of Acts, chapter 1, I'm going to just begin reading with verse 4. This, we're picking up in the storyline. Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried and he has been resurrected. And he has spent the past 40 days in his resurrected body, walking with the disciples, continuing to teach the disciples. And these are the last words that Jesus says before he ascends off of this planet. These are the last words to the church. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness through the ages. We thank you for this promise. Oh God, it's exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ever ask for. We'd ask you today, Lord, that you would bless the offering, that you would help each and every contributor, each and every family that supports the kingdom of God. Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven, rain down upon them your blessings, return it to them many times over. Father, I ask you to use this vessel today. Lord, you know all of my weakness. You know all of my inabilities. I ask you to take control of this vessel. Speak to your people. Father, we ask you for the presence, the moving, and the operation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. The last words that Jesus said, and it says here that he commanded them. This was not a suggestion or a recommendation. It was a straightforward command from the King of Kings. He has spent the last 3.5 years teaching the disciples. They had been out on evangelistic efforts, but as he now is leaving the planet, he commands them, go to Jerusalem and don't leave. He's telling them, I don't want you to evangelize. I don't want you to start churches. I don't even want you to witness. I want you to just wait for the promise of the Father. Now that seems odd after 3.5 years of them walking with Jesus, being involved in all of the miracles in ministry, and now he says, take a pause, stop the doing, and just sit and just wait for the promise. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now that means that Jesus talked to the disciples many times about the promise of the Father. And as you go back through the Gospels, you can find many times he talked about this. And the disciples would hear it just like we sometimes in the modern church, we hear it and it goes in one ear and right out the other. And we don't grasp the importance of what is being said. And so he qualifies in verse 5, he says, for truly John, speaking of the Baptist, he baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, these disciples would have known, even prior to this, when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, they would have known who the Spirit is. It was not a new concept to them. David, all through the Psalms, would write about the Spirit. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. They were fully understood who the Holy Spirit was. But yet, when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, it's like they just didn't have the spiritual wherewithal to grasp what was being said, and there was little interest. There was little interest. Jesus has spoken to them on prior occasions of the promise of the Father, but it was like there was no interest at all in what he was saying. And I find that in modern Christianity, there is no difference. We can talk about, we can share that the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for people, and it's like our eyes gloss over and our ears become dull and we don't hear the importance of what is being said. I remember as a young Christian, I had been saved only a couple of weeks. I went to a Assemblies of God church, and being a black man, well, almost, I never realized that I was in a completely 100% white congregation. Just simply didn't matter. And I made a friend with the brother that was there, and he was all twisted up. He had some type of disease. He was just could barely move around. But he was my friend, and I would sit with him in the services. And one day while we're standing there worshiping him, I heard him begin to speak in other tongues. And it didn't penetrate my ears, it penetrated my heart. I felt it. And although I did not understand theology, I really didn't even understand what this was, I went home that day and said, God, I'm supposed to have this. And I began to seek God fervently. God, I've got to have this. I want this. I don't understand all about it, but I want this. And I sought God's face month after month, week after week. And one day in a private prayer at my house, in those days I would lay on the floor on my face and cry out to God. I noticed that my little prayer, it wasn't much of a prayer, it began to drift off. The words kept drifting off to something else. And I didn't understand what was happening. I thought I was tripping. So I just pulled the words back to English, and they kept drifting off. And I thought nothing of it. I went to church that night. We were in revival, and I went to the prayer altar. We had altars in those days, and I'm praying at the altar, and it happened again. The words just kept drifting off. And Brother David, he was on the other side of the altar praying with me. He said, Brother Lincoln, you've got it. That's it right there. The point I want to make is the Holy Spirit comes in and he's so comfortable. It's so natural for him to be inside of us. He can be there and you won't even know it, other than you will begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. This is the promise. Now understand something. The baptism in the Holy Spirit does not begin and end with talking in tongues. That's just a side benefit. It's a personal prayer language. But we'll read it here in the morning. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he brings power into your life. He brings power into your heart. When there's things in yourself you can't break, bondages that you cannot break, when the Holy Spirit comes in, they're as nothing at all. They're suddenly gone. Because the Holy Spirit is God. It's not just some spirit, woo. No, it's God himself that comes, and when he abides in here, it makes you the temple of God. Now, all of us, if you're saved, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit has access to your heart, and he deals with you. Every Christian has that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a second work of grace where you are endued with power so that you can be of service to the kingdom of God. So we see here then, Jesus says, the promise, get this now, it's a promise from God. The Holy Spirit does not make you weird, he makes you sane. He doesn't make you do dumb stuff. He makes you do spiritual stuff. But God has given a promise. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Has nothing to do with your sinfulness. You can't stop sinning without him. Amen. If you're saying, well, I got to wait until I'm perfect, you'll never get the Holy Ghost. But if you'll come to God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm just a vessel. Use me, baptize me, do what you will with me. God, the Holy Ghost will come in and he will use you. I was a crack cocaine addict. I couldn't keep, if I had $2 in my pocket, I'd go get a nickel on short. Man, I was bound. But when the mighty power of the Holy Ghost begins to infuse into your life, brother, it's not even something I struggle with. It's not even something I think about. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't go to a weekly meeting and say, hello, my name is Charles Lincoln. I'm a crack cocaine addict. I don't say that. I say, Jesus Christ has set the captive free. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's God. He's God. And so John says, Jesus says, John baptized you. The word baptized means immersed. He dipped you and immersed you into water. But you will be immersed into the Holy Spirit. He said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for this promise. Now here's why we don't get the Holy Ghost. It was 10 days later. They were in the temple day and night for 10 days straight. I don't know how many started, but when it was done, it was 120. See, we move so fast, we can't wait on God. Wait on God. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. I remember my mind in seeking for the Holy Ghost. I was so absorbed. I was so focused on this. I remember being in the mall one day and there was an artist rendering in one of the stores. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit like a dove falling. And I remember standing there in the mall, just praying, just began to pray right there in the mall. God, I've got to have this. Everything I saw, it screamed my need for the Holy Spirit. And one day, without a preacher, without a church, in my living room, the power fell upon my life, and I've never been the same. And that same promise is available for everyone here. Watching by webcast, the same promise is available. You don't necessarily mean this. It's not harmful for someone to touch and agree with you in faith, but you don't need that. All you need to do is believe God and then seek for the Holy Spirit. And when you have it, you will know you have it because you will begin to speak in other tongues. Get this. I speak in a language I never learned. I never learned it. I just know it. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, if we continue on in verse 6, it says, When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of God to Israel? Now, stop right there. Get this. He says, in just a few days, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Power is going to come into your life. God, the Holy Ghost, is going to take up his abode. And they ask him about Israel. Went in one ear and straight out the other. They didn't even hear him. And that's the same thing we do sometimes. The gravity, the immenseness, the potential of what we hear regarding the Holy Spirit, we hear it, but we don't hear it. But if I said, hey, we're going to do a seminar on the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, oh my God, we got to hear about this. And we put all the weight on eschatology, and we just said as though it's nothing, the indwelling of God in our hearts and lives. They said, Lord, wilt thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, that's none of your business. That's really what he said, none of your business. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. He's saying all that's secondary. Don't worry about that. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you notice how the disciples, their mind went somewhere else, and Jesus pulled their mind back. Listen to what I'm saying. You're going to receive power, man. How many can just admit you're weak? Okay, for the ones that didn't raise their hand, I got you. Listen, we're not strong. We're weak. We can't even change our own personality. We can't, if we get angry, we can't even stop ourselves from our mouth talking. We're weak. But Jesus is saying, you shall receive power. The word power, the Greek is dunamis. It's where we get our modern word dynamite from. It's the explosive power of God that comes into your life. Not for you to do what you want to do. For him to do what he wants to do through you. See, many times we always go for the sensational. Oh, power. Man, I'm going to go raise the dead. Well, if we got miracle working power, why is the dead not being raised? Thou fool. We look right at the work of God and don't see it. You are the dead that's being raised. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You are the one that's being raised in the newness of life. You are the one that's being seated in heavenly places above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. This is what the Holy Spirit comes in and does. He gives you a power far beyond what you're going to be able to do just being a born-again believer. Now, let me be clear. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit has access to your heart. And you have access to the Holy Spirit. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you are supercharged in regard to your spiritual walk. You have a second measure of faith. It doesn't make you better. It makes you more spiritual. You'll read your Bible different if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your whole world will change if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your marriage will be better. You'll be a better employee or a better employer, whichever one that you are. Oh, yes. You'll be a better citizen because the Holy Spirit is now supercharging your life, and Holy Spirit conviction is supercharging your life. And the Holy Spirit then has equipped you now for service. For you to work for him in the capacity, not what you want to do, in the capacity that he gave you, that he gives you. He'll equip you for that. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which your Father has put in his own power. That's a secondary effort. Here's what's primary. But you shall receive power after that, not before. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Now, I use myself an example only because I don't know your life. I know what happened to me, and so I can talk about it. As I said earlier, coming out of deep, dark sin as a sinner, converted, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, having lived for 28 years a life of addictions of one type or another, now with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm not just saved, I am in service for God. He's actually using me. And the words that you're hearing me speak right now are wrapping this globe as I speak them unto the uttermost parts of the world. This is not a joke. This is real. I am not special. God will give this to anybody. You have not because you ask not. If you ask and receive not, you ask amiss because you want to consume it upon your own lust. I want to put apostle on my business card. I want everybody to know my name. That's the wrong mindset. I don't care if anybody knows my name, but if you know the name of Jesus, if you could just hear me say the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Praise God. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. These are the last words that Jesus spoke to the church. Get the Holy Ghost baptism. It wasn't just to those that were seated there in that teaching session, but it's to the entirety of the church. His last words is receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's available to every born-again believer. Don't say, well, I've got this sinful problem and this sinful problem and this sinful problem. I'm just saying like this. God don't care about that. You cannot get free without some power. And you can't free anybody else without some power. You look at our generation now, man, these babies, their lives are so twisted by the sinful culture that they've grown up in. I mean, they pierced their whole face. They got tattoos over their forehead. I mean, they're cutting themselves. They're changing their sex. They're doing all kind of madness. You cannot reach that generation if you don't have some power. Amen. It's not just talk is not enough. If you'll notice, the church now has talk preachers. They just talk, and they talk well. They use millennial speech. They're embedded in the culture, and they talk like millennials. And it's good for your social platform, but there's no power in it. It's just another empty-handed preacher putting his empty hand on somebody's empty head, praying for him, and don't nothing happen. But Paul said, when I came, my teaching and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. It wasn't just intellectualism, but I came in a demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of power. That word demonstration is really should have been translated manifestation. A manifestation of the Spirit, a manifestation of the power. Sometimes we look for the big, obvious miracles of Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit is doing that where he needs it done at. But sometimes we don't realize the demonstration of the Spirit of when that preacher speaks and it goes straight into your heart and grips you. And you wake up that night thinking about what that preacher said. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. One of the promises or one of the times that Jesus spoke to his disciples concerning the Holy Spirit is in John 16. And again, in all the times that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, it in one ear and out the other, they just did not capture the moment. And I hope that you can do better today to capture the weight of what is being said. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes your hunger exceed your grasp. Are you getting me? We've all grasped something. We're all holding some part of God. He makes your hunger go past what you've already got. He's the one that compels you to move forward. But in John 16, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. Get that. It's expedient for you. The word expedient means advantageous. What he's saying is better for you if I go away. Now, when he says that if I go away, this is prior to the crucifixion, what he's saying is it's better for you if I die on the cross, if I'm buried in a cave, if I resurrect on the third day, and if I'm ascended to heaven, because that act is going to pay off the sin debt so the Holy Spirit has access to your life. So he said, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, if I stay here with you, the Holy Spirit will not come. I think he used the comforter. Yes, the comforter is another synonymous term for the Holy Spirit. He's saying the comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him back to you. Now, we know he went away. We know he died, he was buried, he was resurrected, and he ascended to heaven. We know that. So if that is the case, he said, if that's accomplished, I will send him back specifically to you. Now, what does that mean? It means we have a promise from the Father, and we have it duplicated in a promise from the Son, that they will send back the third person of the Godhead to dwell in our lives. I know it sounds incredible. I know it's humbling. Who am I that God would take up his abode in this wretched vessel. Who am I? But God, he comes in, and if you listen to him, that power will impact every part of your life. I have no doubt in my life I am physically being held up by the power of God. I'm not making myself plain. Moses was 100 years old. His eyes were not dim. His natural force was not abated. I've not made it to 100, but I have made it to 67. I have no doubt that God is empowering my physical body because I am in service to him. Now, if I stop preaching, I could die the next day. So the power that comes into your life, it filters out into all facets of your life. God empowers you for service and whatever that he's got to do. I used to be an introvert. Not a little bit. Totally bound. I was such an introvert that when I crossed the street, I could not cross the street at the green light because I was afraid that people would look at me. I was totally bound. But when God came into my life, all of a sudden there's a liberty and a freedom. Standing here in front of you, I am not afraid. I am not inhibited in any way. I have absolute liberty, not because I have a unique personality, not because I have unique talent, because the Holy Ghost is doing it in me and through me. And he'll do it in you and through you if you let him. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Now, the prior verse in Acts that we were reading, this was really the offset, the beginning of the New Testament church. The first thing that happened is the Spirit of God came in as a mighty rushing wind and filled all 120 of them after they waited 10 days in prayer. Our prayer says only 2 days, and we can't make that. You know why? I gotta run over here. I gotta run back over here. I'm running, and God says, stop, wait, silence yourself, get quiet. Because this is not like your best friend coming by. This is not like an associate coming and knocking on your door. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lift up ye gates and the King of Glory will come in. But we have to get quiet before God. We have to seek his face and spirit and the truth. Don't worry about your sinful activity. Don't dwell on that. Dwell on the finished work of the cross that paid for your sinful activity. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he'll give you a power that you'll notice the sin fall off of your life. Things you struggle with, it'll just begin to fall off of your life because you've got dunamis. You've got power. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all filled. All, notice all of them, because that's the model for the church, is that every person in the church should be filled, that is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, Peter was in this group of 120. And we know Peter's background. It was not good. Peter made all the mistakes. And it was recorded by the Holy Spirit so we'd be comfortable with our mistakes. I mean, he just denied Jesus 3 times just a few days ago, less than 50 days ago. And now he's in this group and the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to see the power of God. The last time he had just denied Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus was saying, do you love me? He finally had to back up and say, basically he said, no, I don't agape you, but I filial you. You're all right. You know, I kind of like you. But now that the power of God has come into his life, he stands up. Peter was not a theologian. He was an ignorant and unlearned man. He did not have time to go do a Bible study. He did not have time to put him a sermon together. He didn't even have a scripture. But he stood up and began to speak the inaugural message, and the Holy Spirit bringing scriptures out of his heart. He said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And he begins to give a long dissertation, a sermon right there, so powerful. 3,000 people fell on their face and gave their hearts and lives to God. That's a demonstration of the Spirit. Praise God. And as he's given this sermon, which goes almost all the way through the second chapter, he in verse 39, he mentions this, for the promise. He's talking about the promise of the Father that was reiterated as the promise of the Son, I will send him, for the promise is unto you. And unto your children, and unto them that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. I have been seeking for the Holy Ghost for weeks, and it can be discouraging when you know you're praying, you're seeking God, and you don't get the baptism. It can be discouraging. But your hunger has to exceed your discouragement. And one day, as I always did, I'd come home and at lunch and I'd lay on the floor. And my frustration overtook me in the middle of the prayer, and I got up because I had been reading my Bible. And I turned it to this scripture. And I literally did this in my bed, in my living room, in my little apartment. I said, God, right here, verse 39, you said that the promise was unto me. I know you called me. And you said, the promise is unto me. That's the day I got the Holy Spirit. In other words, you got to claim this promise with your whole heart. It's not just a fleeting, I'll take it or leave it. If that's the case, you will be leaving it. But when you get desperate and say, God, I've got to have it. I can't go on without it. God is faithful and just, and he will fill you, baptize you with the power of God. The promise is unto you and unto your children. My baby, the worship leader, she is full of the Holy Ghost, as is her husband. And I'm looking at my grandbaby now. We're already teaching her to worship. We're teaching her to pray. And I'm trusting God, Lord, you said them that are afar off. I got two more grandbabies coming. They got to get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this world is too wicked. This world is too depraved now. You can't be walking around with no power in your life. Because let me tell you something. The devil's got power that he will trip you up and he will mess you up if you don't walk in the power of God. The promise is unto you. It's unto your children. To them that are far off, all the way down the tunnel of time, from the time Peter said this all the way till now, even as many, meaning this promise covers all those that are called of God, which means that you are born again. This morning, you sit under the promise of God, reiterated by the Son. That promise is yours. All you have to do is claim it. All you have to do is say, I believe that. And God, I want the Holy Spirit. If any man asks God for a fish, will he give him a scorpion? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a serpent? How much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So right now, across this room, you watching at home as well, I want to open up these altars, and if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, or if you've had the baptism but you need the fire rekindled in your life, I want you to just stand up out of your seat. Don't look around. Just stand up and come down here and meet me here at the platform. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Just come along. Amen. Just come on. And we're going to believe God. Now listen, I can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I have no power. But I can believe with you. Because Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil give you any excuses. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm going to ask if Pastor Taylor, there he is. Brother Ike, could you come and help us, please? Amen. We're just going to lay hands on you today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hands to heaven. Just close your eyes. And just begin to talk to God. Lord, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. I believe that it's for me. I believe that it's for me. And I ask you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, just reach out to God. Open your mouths now. You got to open your mouths and you got to ask God. Come on, you have not because you ask not. You got to open your mouth and say, God, I've got to have this. Father, right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you that you baptize these in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you tug on their hearts and that you fill them, oh God, with your mighty Holy Spirit, that you'd give them that heavenly experience. Come on, just lay hands on the saints. Some of you that have the Holy Spirit, come on, Brother Hilton, whoever, if you got the Holy Spirit, come help us pray for these saints. God, right now, in Jesus' name, fill them, God, with the Holy Spirit. Kindle the fires in their hearts. Lord, move in their souls and their spirits. Fill them, God, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give them, oh God, that rekindling that they need. Touch their hearts and lives in a real way. Oh God, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'd make yourself known and that you'd make yourself real here today in these lives. Father, move by your Spirit. Move by your power, oh God. Move by your power, Jesus. Touch, heal, deliver. Oh God, fill this brother with the Holy Spirit. Break every yoke, break every chain. Fill him up with the power, the dunamis from on high. Father, in Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name, fill my sisters right now with the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you that your power would fall upon them, that you would meet, oh God, the need, that you would touch the lives, that you would feel, oh God, that you would feel. Come on, just cry out to God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep crying out to God. He wants you to have this. God, fill these sisters with the Holy Spirit. God, this family right now, Lord, fill this family with the Holy Spirit. God, we ask you that you grab a hold of their focus and that the power of the Most High might come upon them. Lord, that the power of God might fill their lives and fill their hearts. Let them have a taste of that heavenly glory. God, move by your Spirit. Move by your power here in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you'd fill them up. Lord God, that you baptize them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, just keep reaching out to God. Don't give up. Don't give up, saints. Just keep reaching out. God, baptize my brother and sister. Baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Baptize them, oh God. Fill them with the power of God from on high. Fill these sisters with the power of God from on high. Change their hearts and minds, oh God. Give them the Holy Spirit. Capture their focus and fill them up. That's it. Just keep reaching out. Just keep reaching out. God, fill my sisters with the Holy Spirit. Fill my brother with the Holy Spirit. God, we look to you right now that you do this work within their lives. Do this work, oh God, within their hearts. Fill my brothers. Fill them with the power of the Most High. Lord, that they might have a closer walk with you. Hallelujah. That's it. Just keep reaching out. Just keep reaching out. You don't have to be in a rush to go home. Amen. Just keep reaching out. God is real and he wants you filled. In the Bible, they reach out for 10 days. So if we spend 10 minutes, it's not too long. God bless these brothers. Bless these brothers. Fill their lives. Fill their hearts. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. God, we ask you in Jesus' name. Feel God this life. Feel God this heart. Feel God this power. Let this power fall upon them as it fell on the day of Pentecost. God, let your power fall on my sister. God, let your power fall on my sisters. I ask you that you fill them with your mighty power. Stir them up, God. Bring them into service to yourself with the dunamis from on high. God, in Jesus' name, we believe you. We believe you, God. We believe your word. We believe your promise. We believe your integrity, your faithfulness, oh God. We believe you. Come on, just reach out. Just reach out. Get caught up in that heavenly place. Come on, get caught up in that heavenly place. Let him have you. Let him have you. Don't hold back. Let him have you. Let him have your heart and your mind and your emotion. Give her, give your whole self to him. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Handoloboko rashandariastalaboko rashe. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to the King. Oh God. Now, saints, listen. God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. You've heard my testimony. I didn't get the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have the Holy Spirit right now. If you feel your language drifting off, you're not making it do it. It's doing it by itself. That's the Holy Spirit. Your tongues will not sound like my tongues. It'll start as a little gurgle, and you just gurgle. And it, over time, will develop into a full language. But if you did not get it just right here, you can get the Holy Spirit anytime, any place that you are seeking God specifically for the Holy Spirit. But have the mindset, God, I come to you. I must have this. I'm hungry for this. I want your Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And at the least, the time that you expect it, the least, the Holy Spirit will just slip right into your heart. And you will know because you begin to speak in other tongues. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't say it's not for me. It is for you. But as I said, in Acts, they waited 10 days. In my own life, I waited 6 to 7 months. There's some people that wait for years, but you can never give up. Constantly seek God for the Holy Spirit. Because the promise is that I will pour out of my spirit in the last days, and we know this is the last days. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother Ike, would you close, please? Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you because you went to the cross and you died and you became the very life-giving spirit. You are the Holy Spirit. So we just say thank you. Thank you for this time that we've had to just seek your face, that we've had to just press in. Lord, we just ask in faith, Lord, help us not to doubt. Help us not to be double-minded, Lord, but even those that might not have gotten this gift, Lord, help us to know that Lord, you are not a man that you should lie. So, Father, if you promised it, Lord, we can truly, truly have it. Amen. Well, once again, thank you guys for joining us. If you haven't given yet, please go ahead and feel free to do so now. As you guys know, there are several ways to do that. And also, looking forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday as we keep going with Bible study on how to study your word. And also, on February 16th and 17th, the church is having its first ever relationship seminar. So whether you're single, married, looking, whatever phase you find yourself in, please do well and come out and be ready to be blessed. It's going to be a good time. So with that being said, see you guys on Wednesday and have a blessed week.